from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins, and
my name is Nigel Payne.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about status quo, and the status quo, not the band status quo.
Oh, Martin, you're showing your age.
I know. Bad cultural references are us. The reason I wanted to talk about it is because there's so many forces of change right now on organisations and on all of us as individuals in and outside of work. And through my working life, I've experienced a lot of what I would call the status quo. Even when people have said they want change, you start to get into it and then everyone becomes quite challenged by the idea of change. And then it just doesn't happen a lot of the time. There's a kind of retreat into known routines and habits and just basically ways of working. And that really is a massive concern, I think, right now. We could have a lot of organisations sleepwalking into a lot of trouble over the next months and few years if we're not able to really start to respond and respond quite quickly and, you know, in positive ways to the challenges around us. Now, that's my thesis. So, you know, before we came on air, I said to Nigel, what do you think about that? And of course, Nigel just came out with some fantastic views on this. So, am I right, Nigel? Is the draw of the status quo still very much alive and a problem? And B, what's your view on what we have to do about that?
You're 100% right. And it's no wonder, you know, that our little brains love building nice set routines and habit. We get comfortable in the way we do things. And we're afraid when we do things slightly differently. And you can see the reaction you get from even very small changes. People react really badly and very quickly because their habits of a lifetime are threatened. And often in organizations, we forget that some people have been behaving in a particular way for years. And we give them an edict, or an edict comes from HR, that on Monday it's all going to change. And funnily enough, it doesn't work like that. And people are generally and genuinely upset. And that's not because the future, the position for the future might not be much better. And rationally, people might say, yes, that is a good way to go. But it's not anything to do with rational thought. This is visceral. It's emotional. People get attached to the way they do things and their routines. And the older you get, the more that is true. And you know, if you know people who are in their, you know, 60s, 70s, you see them so routinized. You know, they do the same thing virtually every day and they get very comfortable and they go crazy when that coffee shop closes. You know, they can't cope with the fact that they've got to find somewhere else to get a morning coffee. So when we come with organizations are very complex. There are all sorts of power structures, hierarchies, virtual and real in organizations. So if you're going to change things, I think there are three or four points that are really essential. The first thing is that it takes time. So don't expect you can issue edict Friday, everything changes on Monday. Secondly, you've got to address right at the heart of where the resistance is coming from and challenge that resistance. And thirdly, discomfort is actually a learning zone. When we're comfortable, then we don't learn, we just nod. And we don't do enough discomforting in organizations. And learning is guilty as much as anyone else. We engage people around certainty. And Etienne Wenger talked about mutual engagement around uncertainty. In an uncertain world, that uncertainty has to be reflected inside the organization. And if you get to the point where people recognize that everything that they thought might not be true, you have the basis on which to build change. And there's that story about Ericsson, the advertising guy who built this massive advertising agency, one of the first ones on Madison Avenue in New York. And he had this card in his top pocket. And that card he took out whenever he went into a meeting. He took it out, read it, put it back. And what that card said was, remember, you might not be right. And that is the problem, that we're all convinced that our perspective is right. And, you know, I remember being in union negotiations in various organizations, and you are going in as a reasonable human being, and you're confronted with the exact opposite worldview. And if you take no time to try and understand where the other side of the table is coming from, it's going to be, you just end up with confrontation, massive confrontations. So you've got to see what the resistance is, and then work in small steps towards a different kind of future. And where there are benefits, you celebrate those. Where there are people who have made that leap, you eulogize them in a way. You make them into heroes, and you get them to sell the message. Because the best people to convince are your colleagues, not you. People won't believe a word I say. But if they talk to people that are same place, same situation, and they've made the effort, then they will change. So it's quite possible to get a different kind of organization off the ground, but it's very challenging in some organizations. But there are organizations that have built in, or inbuilt in the DNA, is that nothing will stay the same. We've all got to be flexible. I think some of this skills-based organization idea is saying your job is irrelevant. It's just skills. And your skills should always overflow your job description. And once you get that idea that, hey, I'm a collection of skills way beyond this, then, okay, you got skills way beyond this. Maybe you can do this instead of this routine that you've been doing for 40 or 50 years, or 5 years, or 5 months, or whatever it might be. And that is the essence of getting people to change, making them realize that the world that they exist in is not the only world, that there are different perspectives and they have to see those perspectives, and that people are going to help them make those steps, baby steps maybe to start with, into a different world. And then you've got to convince people that they're doing the right thing. They're saving their job. They're making opportunities to keep the organization alive. And you know, that's the essence of it.
I really like the way you've kind of broken that down. I think I would just add that I think there's particular attention needs to be made at the senior level of the organization, though. You can see where that is the block. There's a lot of power in the top of an organization, and a lot of vested interest in keeping things the same.
Yes,
because you know what brought success to this point will be defended, I think. But what brings success in the next 5 years is probably going to look quite different. But I think what is exciting, we talk about like skills based stuff. I'm thinking if you can unblock some of this, then I think there's a very, and maybe we should have a discussion, I think a very interesting conversation around what organizational design looks like.
Exactly.
Because I think that, you know, alongside the impact of generative AI, what does that look like? If you unblock it and you don't depend on the models that we've always depended on, how do we adapt those models and our thinking so that an organization can be more responsive with the technology?
100%.
I don't know what that means for organizational design.
Even just talking about that, Martin, you know, I remember the quote by my friend Peter Gustafsson in Sweden. Peter said, if you really want to change ingrained ways of thinking and ingrained ways of behaving, these are challenges on both a personal and an organizational level. And often we say, it's all your fault, Martin, you have to change. But we forget that the organization has to change to accommodate the changes in individuals and in teams. And you have to do them both together. You have to recognize that if we're going to change the organization, we have to change both the structures and design of the organization, as well as the people who work in it. And it's that sweet spot, is that interface, the overlap between those two. That's when things start to happen. But we're so bifurcated, you know, we go, my job is to change people. Oh, my job is to change organization. And we don't link those two things often.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
I think we might continue that in other episodes, but for now, Nigel, let's leave it there. That's really good. Thank you.
Let's just leave it there, Martin. Always a pleasure. From scratch.